And he had a very beautiful daughter named Devaki. Devaki, he arranged her marriage with Basudev. We were just saying Surasen, Devamita Surasen, and Basudev. So there was a very wonderful marriage ceremony. Now in the marriage ceremony, especially in India, they're very quite elaborate affairs and they're very emotional affairs. And now, here is not a big deal. We can't understand the whole bhav of the whole thing. But the girl, she's never lived outside the protection of her father. We can't have any experience of this. But in the East, India, this is a very big thing. Now she's going to the house of her father-in-law. And I have seen in India how they play this, certain communities play this out to the hilt. Because then after the wedding, she's leaving her father's house and they put her in the car and they drive her away. Used to be on a chariot, but anyway, put her in a car, they drive her away. Then after a few minutes, she comes back. Everybody's already crying. She comes back, she runs to her mother. Everybody, even grown men are crying. Everybody's crying. So then the second time, some relative also goes with her so she won't feel so bad. One time I was describing this and there was one Indian lady in the audience. She also began to cry remembering the whole scene. So you have just to get you to understand the scene. This is a big deal. So then comes, who was the brother of, at least stepbrother of Devaki. He's not even actually the son of Maharaj Ugrasen. The Puranas describe that one time, especially at this time of year, Shravan, having lived in India for 30 years, I see all the young girls, they go home to their father's house. So Padmavati, Ugrasen's wife, was it Padmavati? No, not Padmavati. Yes, Padmavati, yes, I'm right. She went to her father's kingdom in Bihar someplace. And she was staying there with her father for some time. She was walking in the garden one day. And one type of a yaksha or some one of those creatures that we read about, he was flying over his name was Dramila. Not to be confused, our god brother Drumila was very sad, thinking he was some type of a demon. But anyway, it's Drumila. Drumila means another thing. So he became struck with love. So he was a very powerful demon, so he could change his bodily form. So he changed his form just exactly like Maharaj Ugrasen and began walking from the other end of the garden. And suddenly, Padmavati, she saw that her husband has come. And she was very overjoyed. She immediately ran to the other end of the garden and embraced him. And they began to enjoy together. But as soon as they began to enjoy, every woman knows her husband at that time. She could understand, this is not my husband. But it was too late. She was already engendered with this demon. And she cursed that demon within her womb, but still he could not be killed by it, because she was very powerful. So actually, maybe one, in case you wondered how Ugrasen could have such a horrible son, this is why, he's not actually his son. So anyway, Kams was born. So Kams, he decided to drive the chariot, and Devaki and Vasudeva were going through the streets of Mathura. Devaki Vasudeva ki! Devaki Vasudeva ki! Suddenly a voice came from the sky. Kans, you fool! You do not know the eighth son of your sister will kill you. Ha 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 ha! Atawalal Tera Kal. Atawalal Tera Kal, that eighth son will be your end. So immediately Vasudeva became ready to excuse me, Hansa became ready to kill Devaki because Prabhupada explains that the demons, they're so in control, uncontrolled, that even relative they can keep, even his own sister he can keep, on the day of her wedding. Anyway, anyhow, we know the story. Vasudev convinced him somehow or other that, look, I'll bring all the children to you. He tried in so many philosophical ways, but he couldn't convince Kant. So he promised that I will bring the sons. So every son he brought to Vasudev, to Kant's first son, he let him go, but then Narad Muni incited Kant. He said, he took him to a secluded place and he said, Kant, do you realize? Do you know what's going on? I saw it on the internet. I read it on the Sampradaya Sun. All the demigods are taking birth in the Yadu, Bhoja, and Vishnu dynasties. Didn't you hear it? You don't know? Because he wanted to speed things up. He said, and these demigods, they're tricky fellows. You don't know how they count. Anyone could be the eighth child. Because we count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But maybe they count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This one could be the first one, could be the eighth, when eight children are there. Anyone, depending on where you start, anyone could be the eighth child. These demigods are tricky fellows. You cannot trust them. So in this way, although Kant had sent Vasudev home, Vasudev didn't have any faith in the word of Kant. Kant was kind enough to have faith in him that he would bring every child. He was very faithful. He was with such nobility we don't see. We can't imagine bringing your first child to Kant knowing that he's going to probably kill him. He let him go, but then as soon as Narad Muni incited him, because he wanted to speed things up, because these all sons, they've been cursed and they have to take a birth, so he wants to get them back quickly and get the pastimes going on quickly. So Kant killed that child. In fact, he killed all six. He killed six children. Then, seventh Garb appeared. Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time. Now this was actually Mool Sankarshan, because Krishna and Balaram, they never leave Vrindavan. Just like Prabhupada sometimes quotes this verse, Vrindavanam prityajam paramekam nagacchami. Vrindavanam prityajam. You know the word tyag. When it's a noun, it's tyag. When it's a verb, it becomes tyaj. By Sandhi in Sanskrit. All the funny rules are there. So Vrindavanam prityajam. To leave Vrindavan, paramekam. You can follow that. I don't take even one step outside. So how Krishna and Balaram can appear outside? They don't. Vasudev, just at the beginning of this month of Shravan, he sent Rohini to Braj because of the atrocities that King comes. And she was already pregnant. The actual Balaram, Baladev Prabhu, he was in the womb of Rohini. So who appeared in Devaki's womb was Mool Sankarshan. We know that there's, from Mool Sankarshan comes another Maha Sankarshan, from him comes all the Garbhodakshay, Vishkarana Dakshay, Vishnu Garbhodakshay, all the Vishnus like that. So he appeared within the womb of Rohini. So at that time, Krishna called Yogmaya. And he told her, hey Badri, because he wants to give her some encouragement. He's going to ask her to do a very heavy task. And she may think, how can I do that? She's going to carry that person who in his form is Anantashesh, is carrying all the universes on his head. She has to carry him. How am I going to do that? Hey, Badri, oh auspicious one. Because when Guru or Krishna give any order, they simultaneously give the Shakti, the mercy to carry out that order. So he told, you take this embryo from the womb of Devaki and you transfer it to the womb of Rohini. Because he will be transferred from the womb of Rohini to Devaki to Rohini, Just like we know the word Krishna means Akarshan, comes from the word Akarshan. Hmm? So he'll be known as, Akarshan we know means attractive. Krishna is all attractive. So because he's forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he will be known as Sankarshan. Because he will be very strong, he'll be known as Balabhadra. And because he will give pleasure to all his family members, he will be known as Ram. Hmm? Now Radha Govinda Maharaj one time explained to us that one Vaishnava has written a very wonderful book, and in that book he describes why Krishna gave all the names. Because we might get some doubt. We know that Krishnastu Bhagavan Sayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone else is expansion. So Balaram's appearing as older brother, so maybe somebody may get some doubt how Krishna is the Supreme if Balaram is older. So just to allay those doubts, Krishna, he gave all the names. Because ordinary dealings, we see that some senior person, some jaisth person, senior person, at least mother and father, uncle, auntie, grandfather, grandmother, some senior person gives the names, right, when child is born. So just to allay anybody's fears, who's the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna did it. So he's in the superior position. He's in the original position. So he gave all the names. Sankarshan, Balabhadra, and Ram. Krishna gave all the names. And everybody understood that Devaki had miscarriage. So meanwhile, Jiva Goswami has explained that for 14 months, when that Mool Sankarshan was transferred, then he merged with the original Balaram who was in the womb of Rohini. And she carried him for 14 months. Just imagine. When this Shravan Nakshatra appeared, then Baladev Prabhu made his appearance on this day. And when he appeared, like ordinary child, he didn't cry. He didn't open his eyes. He was just like this. Actually, for the next 8 days, he was very lifeless, practically. Only when Mother Yasoda would come, who was pregnant already by that time with Krishna, because that Jiva Goswami and Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, you see in the fifth chapter of 10th canto, in the very first verse in the purport, Prabhupada explains that Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, citing various pramans, have proved that Krishna was the son of Nanda and Yasoda. So as soon as he comes on Yasoda's lap, immediately he opens his eyes, he becomes very lively. And as soon as he goes off, it's not till 8 days later when Krishna appears, then Balaram, he becomes very lively, like an ordinary child. Like that. So, Baladev Prabhu, he's actually Guru Tattva. That's why he, after six pregnancies of Devaki, then Balaram appears. Because these six sons of Devaki, previously, they were the sons of Marichi, and their names were Kam, Crow, Lo, Mo, Mud, and Matsarya, our very dear friends, who we know too well. So Guru's business is to clean all of these things out of our heart. Actually, Sanatana Goswami explains in his commentary that Kans represents material consciousness and Devaki represents bhakti. And her fear of her brother washes all of these things out. Then that Balaram appears. Now Balaram, he's the servant of Krishna. So he appears because now the next appearance is Vasudev. So he has to stay in the womb for some time, so he wants to make it very nice. Because this is Guru's business, to clean our heart, to put Krishna there. Hmm? He's also the presiding deity of the Sandini Shakti. We know Krishna's very being, we call that Swarup Shakti. It has three divisions. One is Sandini Shakti, by which everything exists. We have this Chit Jagat, this Tatastha Jagat, and we have this Jar Jagat, the transcendental plane, the marginal energy, and the dull material world. So these three existences are manifestation of Balaram. He's in charge of Sandini Shakti. Chit Shakti, Krishna is the knowledge. Krishna is in charge of knowledge. He's the presiding deity of knowledge Shakti. And Radharani, she's in charge of the Ladini. She's the presiding deity of Ladini Shakti. So Baladev Prabhu, he's our original guru. He's Guru Shakti. Therefore we see also he's appeared as Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda we know is the most merciful. So Balaram is also very merciful. Therefore there are certain demons that Balaram kills that even Krishna himself can't kill. Specifically, one day the Kaharburas were playing and this wonderful smell came from the forest of Tala. There's so many tall fruits are there. Now the original picture in the old Krishna book, it shows it looks like a date tree with little long stringy leaves. But actual tall tree is like a fan type of palm tree. It's like it looks like a fan type of, big fan type of leaves like this. And just in this season, Shravan, this Shravan rainy season, then these big orange, not orange, actually, they start out purple like an eggplant, deep purple like an eggplant, barrel-shaped eggplant. And hundreds of them, you'll see the tall trees just filled with tons and tons and tons of these fruits on a big bunch like that. Then gradually toward the end of the rainy season, they begin to turn orange with little deep purplish highlights on them. Just on the end, coming out from the end, little deep purplish highlights. And they're very, very, very sweet. It's like a very stringy mango. They're not so much fun to eat because they're very stringy, but you can squeeze out the juice and make juice with it. So many things. You can cook it down. It's very wonderful. So having lived in Braj for many years, I noticed during the hot season, the wind always blows from the west side. We call it the Lu. Comes blowing off the Rajasthani desert. Very dangerous. You can dehydrate. One devotee told me one time, he was in old days before there was so many auto rickshaws and taxis, and he was going by rickshaw from Vrindavan to Mathura. And Lu began to blow, and he completely became so dehydrated he lost consciousness. Luckily, it was those days rickshawwalas were more honest. He immediately dragged him to some Brujbasi's house, and they covered him with water and wet sheets and brought him back to consciousness. So very dangerous. But it blows from the west side. As soon as rainy season comes, then the wind becomes to blow from the eastern direction. Very cool wind. So I was speculating that the Kahur boys must have been playing on the western side of Talavan forest, because the wind will come from the east, blow across, because the tala fruits are ripened in the rainy season. So the wind is coming from east. So the smell of the fruits, they must have been on the other side, on the western side. And now we have this Sarartani Deepika of Viswanath Chakravartipad. So there he describes in his commentary on this verse that in the rainy season the wind blows from the east, So the Cahir boys must have been playing on the western side. So my speculation was confirmed. Now this forest belonged, this Talavan forest actually belonged to King Kant. And he had deputed Denukasura and all his ass-like relatives to look after this forest. So they would collect all these beautiful ripe, we just described how nice these tall fruits are. They would collect all of those tall fruits and deliver most of them to King Kant. Then Denukasura and all his ass-like friends would enjoy the rest. No Vaishnava, no Brijvasi, no devotee, even animals were afraid to go in that forest. Nobody else tasted these fruits. But Cowherd boys, 24 hours a day, they're hungry. Brijvasi boys, 24 hours a day, they're always hungry. So this wonderful smell was coming from the eastern side. So they approach Krishna and Balaram. Very lovingly they approach and say, oh, we're so hungry, and other side there's this beautiful forest, but nobody goes there because of this big demon who lives there. And specifically they approach Balaram, because Balaram till now he hadn't manifested his power. All the demons had been killed by Krishna or chastised by Krishna. They told, so Baladev, you have the big arms, you should go there and get these tall fruits for us. You have no fear. So then Balaram said, what are you guys talking about? Every time we have wrestling match, you guys always win. You guys should go there. Said, no, no. Even if sometimes you win, that's just your mercy. But actually, because you're the sons of the king of Braj, it's more suiting that the royalty should go first. We give you the opportunity. You go first. So then, roaring like lions and jumping and shouting, all the cowherd boys, they entered into the Talavan forest. As soon as they got there, they began to tease, because little boys, they like to tease. Is it? Do you like to tease? Yes. So, little boys began to tease Baladev. Come on, take some of those fruits. What are you're a weakling, huh? Ah, he's a weakling, he's a weakling, he's a weakling. They're all laughing at Balaram. So Balaram went over and, showing his strength like an elephant, he grabbed one of those tall trees. Now, these tall trees could be this big. And they're very, they're not only called tall trees, they're also tall trees. They're very tall also. So immediately he grabbed that tall tree and began to shake it. But all the fruits were falling. So this called the attention of Denukasura. He heard this. That means somebody's stealing our tall fruits. So immediately, Denukasura came running there, and seeing this beautiful white, like a silver white mountain, Balaram, he began to kick on his chest. Balaram didn't even notice that he's kicking on his chest. This enraged Denukasura even further. He began to kick even more. And Balaram became enraged like Lord Shiva when he does his Tandava dance to destroy the universe. And he grabbed the hind legs of that Denukasura with one hand and swinging him around and around and around and around and around. He lost his life and he threw him into a tall tree. One of the biggest of the tall trees. That tall tree broke in half and fell over on the next one. The next one broke in half, fell over on the next one. Looked like, Prabhupada describes, like a hurricane had gone through the forest. They just went brrr, like domino effect, like that. So immediately all the other, now there's a reason why Balaram has to kill this demon. Because it's described in Garga Samhita that in his previous life, this fellow was the son of Bali Maharaj, who's a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And his name was Sahasik. And he was enjoying in the Gandamana mountain range. At that time, Durvas Rishi was doing his tapasya there, his yoga meditation. And Sahasik came there with 10,000 girls to enjoy. And they were making a lot of noise. So Durvas Rishi became very angry and he cursed him. You're just an ass. So you become an ass. After 4 lakhs of years, then Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will come and kill you. Now we know that Nrisimhadev in Bhagavatam, he gave prediction to blessing to Prahlad Maharaj that 100 generations of your family will be liberated. But in other Puranas described, he gave other blessing. Prahlad Maharaj asked one other blessing, that nobody in my dynasty will be killed by you. Therefore, Krishna can't kill this demon. This is why Balaram went to kill this demon, because Krishna can't kill him, because he made promise that nobody in your dynasty. So this Hasak, he's coming down in the dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, Baladev. But as soon as all the other ass demons, then Krishna jumped into the play. And they began grabbing the demons and swinging around, tossing them into the trees. And some of the trees were breaking, some of the trees just sort of bent over like this. And they're just tossing and tossing all of these ass demons all over the place. And the whole place became a big mess. Prabhupada describes it looked like so many different colored clouds. Some asses are dark, some are light, like that. So many different colored clouds were staying in the tall trees, and some of them were lying on the ground. There was big bloody mess, blood, big mess everywhere. So that particular day, Jiva Goswami explains, that particular day, the boys didn't eat the tall fruits because it was a big bloody mess, all these dead bodies there. There's a dead body there, then everything in the house becomes contaminated. We can't eat. And it was blood everywhere and everything, so it was a big mess. The Pulindas, we hear about the Pulindas. The Prabhupada, what does he call them? What do you call them? Aborigines. They don't mind dirty things, so they ate those tal fruits. But it's rainy season, so after some time, all the blood and mess and everything was washed away and everything was clean. And then all the Brijbasis and all the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram used to go there and pick tal fruits and have wonderful, wonderful feasts, tal feasts there. And suddenly comes a notice that his supply of tall fruits has been cut off. And then he understood that Krishna and Balaram have killed Venukasura and all his ass associates. So our great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that this demon represents material consciousness. Material consciousness means the American way of life. Enjoy hard and work hard and enjoy hard. We work hard and enjoy hard. Material life means we think we're this body. The goal of life is to enjoy the senses of this body. This is material. Because he wasn't allowing any Vaishnava or any of those fruits to ever be offered to Krishna. So he represents this. We just gave his history. He was Sahasik. So he was killed by Balaram. So he represents this is ass-like mentality. Because the ass, he's the symbol of materialistic consciousness. And he's also killed by Baladev because this is Guru's business, to clear out all the dirty things, to clear out this material consciousness and all the dirty things in our heart. Because for lack of any other word in English, we describe that Balaram's two weapons are club and plow. But it's not a club like a Balaram club. Although he also knows, we know that he taught Duryodhan, but that's in Dwarka Lila. Actual thing that Balaram carries is called a mushal. A mushal, it looks like a pregnant baseball bat, overweight baseball bat, with a little place here that's thinner than the rest of the body. You can put your hand there. And then you put the rice into a... They have hardened clay depression in the ground. They put the rice there. And then with this mushal, you bam, 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 you bang the rice. Because the rice has got some husk on it. And the husk we cannot use. We want to get the essence, the grain of rice. Just like one time on Braj Mandal Prikrama, when we passed through the end of Kartik, the rice is just ripening in the fields. And I don't know if you've ever eaten wheat, fresh wheat right off the stalk. It's so sweet, but you can open it up very easily from the husk, like this. So I thought, well, maybe the fresh rice, it's just ripe now. It must be, maybe it's sweet like the wheat. So I broke off a few rice grains and threw them in my mouth, and that husk has got a jagged edge like this, so it only goes one direction. And I started chewing, and all those little jagged things start going down my throat, and they don't want to come out. So you don't want to try chewing fresh rice with still the husk on it. So you have this, when it's dry, then they bang it with this mushel. That husk breaks off, because that husk is useless. The grain is useful. That's the essence. That's what we want to get to. But the husk, that's useless. Useless means anart. Anart. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, we know that one verse is there, arta arti, one who wants some money. Because money is very useful. It has some purpose, some meaning. But this, so anart, without any purpose, without any use, useless. So we know, first business of guru is to get rid of our arts. To get rid of our anarts. So that's why Balaram is carrying this mushal. That's why Balaram kills this ass-like demon. Because he's in this materialistic consciousness of carrying heavy loads. And Prabhupada explains he doesn't even carry his own load. He's carrying load for somebody else. It'd be one thing if he's carrying load for himself. He's carrying this heavy load for somebody else. And the whole day long, he's walking through the grass, carrying this heavy load. At the end of the day, his master gives him some grass. He's walking through grass all day long. But he's thinking, if I don't work very hard, how will I enjoy grass? If I don't work very hard, how will I enjoy this grass? Just like when some dacoits one time, they caught some rich people in the forest. They attacked them. Immediately they gave everything they had. And then they beat them up. It's all right, we gave you everything. How are we going to eat unless we do some work? So the ass is thinking like that. He's walking through the grass all day, but unless I work very hard, then after working hard, actually we read all these things in Prabhupada's books. But if you go to India, you can see all these things before your very eyes. See the ass carrying all this tons of bricks and sand and laundry and all this type of things. You can see before your very eyes. Then he lets him go, gives him a little grass. After eating some grass, he goes to the she-ass. Now, if you've ever been to India and seen this, this is the most amazing scene. He comes up behind the she-ass and she kicks him right in the mouth. And you know how mouth is sort of hollow, so there's like this, this hollow sound comes like this. Boop! It's very frightening to hear. You know, she comes up, boop! With both feet, you know. Boop! Boop! And then his lips have just been smashed onto his teeth, right? He goes like this and comes again. Boop! You can read these things in Prabhupada's books, so you can go to India, you can see them happen before your very eyes. Makes you think. Other name of the ass is Vaisakh Nandan. The month after, 2 months after Gopurnima, Gopurnima is Falgun, then comes Chaitra, then Vaisakh. So by that time it's very hot and everybody's miserable except the ass. Therefore he's called Vaisakh Nandan. Why? As we just told, that's a very hot season. It becomes up to 100 degrees, 120 degrees, like that. It's very hot and dry. So there's hardly any grass. Everything becomes dry and dry, dry and dry. When you come in February, every February we have our Brindakun festival, because that's in February, that's when we, right around Nityananda's Tridasi, when we open the Brindakun temple. Then you see all the fields are green and green, and all the mustard is blooming with yellow flowers in all directions. Everything's clean and green. You come, especially if it's a late Maya professor, you come, everything is brown. And this is after that even. It becomes very hot and dry and dry and dry. So the ass, he eats a little bit of grass, then he goes forward, he finds a little bit more, he goes forward, he finds a little bit more. He walks for miles and miles, trying to fill his belly. But he looks back and he says, wow, I went so far, I must have eaten a lot of grass. He's so foolish, he thinks, because he worked so hard, therefore he ate a lot of grass. So he becomes happy. And we see happy people, they're always a little fatty. It's like those who know in Vrindavan, my dear associate, Sarvabhauma Prabhu, he's always very jolly, telling all kinds of jolly. He's huge and fat, so jolly people become very fat. So everybody else is suffering, but the ass becomes very fat in the hot season. So he's called Baisak Nandan, so foolish. Then rainy season comes. Rainy season means grass is everywhere. So the ass, he's just eating and eating and eating. So much grass is there. He's eating. He looks back. He says, I haven't gone anywhere. My goodness, I didn't get anything to eat today. And he starts eating some more. And he looks back. He didn't go anywhere. And he becomes very worried. And we see worried people, they become very thin and shrunken up. So in the rainy season, when there's grass everywhere and everyone is happy, then the ass, he's completely unhappy and very skinny and becomes doobly and putly and sickly, becomes very sickly in the rainy season. Hot season he's very happy and he's such a foolish creature. So this represents this foolish material consciousness of work hard and enjoy hard. It's another demon that Balaram kills. Is this Pralambasur. This is a pastime that happens on the other side of Jamuna in a very beautiful place called Bandirvan. So, every day the cowherd boys, they play different games. They sometimes divide up into groups and play one after the other. So one day in Bandirvan, the cowherd boys were playing and one demon, Pralambasura, he took the form of a cowherd boy and entered into that play. And he was thinking how to kill Krishna. But actually he was a little nervous about taking on Krishna, so he thought, I will join Krishna's side in the play. And Krishna immediately recognized him with his eyes. He indicated to Balaram. Because when we have love between one another, sometimes we don't even use words, we just use our eyes. Huh? When we're angry, we shout. Huh? We're standing right in front of each other, but we're shouting because our hearts become very far apart. So we have to shout, and we don't even listen, though it's so loud. But when our hearts are very close, we whisper, or sometimes we don't use. So Krishna and Balaram, they have so much love for one another. So then, he indicated just by his eyes. So then Krishna embraced that cowherd boy and said, oh my dear friend, I've been waiting you for so long. Now I will not leave you. And that friend couldn't understand what Krishna's meaning. Especially in India, this type of language means now you're going to get it. So I'm not going to leave. And you say, I'm not going to leave you, it means now you're going to get it. What we say, when English we say, you're going to get it, man. That's how you say it. I'm not going to leave you, man. So, Krishna and Balaram, they took Balaram's groups, they took sides and they began some play. And they were playing and playing. So the deal was that the losing side had to carry the winning side on their shoulders. The winning side would have to do the work. The losing side would have to do the work of carrying them. So Balaram's side lost. No, Krishna's side lost. Excuse me. Balaram's side won. So then Krishna picked up some cowherd boy in his shoulder, and Balaram, then that Pralambasura, he picked up Balaram, put him on his shoulder. And he began running Because then they would have to run around. But he began running toward the forest, and he ran very far. And Balaram said, wow, this cowherd boy is going very far. Suddenly, as soon as Balaram became suspicious of the identity of this cowherd boy, he revealed himself as this big, huge demon. And Balaram thought, wow, this cowherd boy has changed in every aspect. Then Balaram realized that this is not a cowherd boy, this is a demon. So then he took his fist and pow, he gave him a big KO, and he came crashing down, smashed onto the ground. And all the cowherd boys were amazed. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that this demon represents the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. This is the most ferocious of all the demons. We have to be very, 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 very careful of this demon. And he also represents, Bhaktivinoda describes, he represents attraction for the opposite sex. Because naturally, when one gets profit, adoration, distinction, he's also looking out for the opposite sex. That's why this is what we see, all these big, tall buildings. We go into every city and everybody's trying to build a building taller than the next one, or the next, you know, tallest building in the world. It's all like, you know, you can see, it's all like phallic symbols. It's all profit, adoration, distinction. Also means sex life. And he was the son, in his previous life, he was the son of a Gandharva named Huhu. There's two Gandharvas mentioned in the scripture. One is Haha, the other is Huhu. And Vijay was the son of Huhu. So he went into Kuvera's garden and began stealing flowers, so then Kuvera cursed him. So that's how he became the demon Pralamba. Now Bandirvan is a very, very beautiful place. Actually, there's a well there. Because now we'll talk about Krishna for a little bit. Because one time Krishna killed one demon. That demon's name was Batsasura. He was in the form of a calf. That's right, we have some Krishna book scholars here. He was in the form of a calf, baby cow. Actually, in very sophisticated Hindi, we refer to someone younger than us as Bats. Hey Bats. If you ever watched Mahabharata, you know, all the older people always saying, hey, Bats. Because as soon as you see a calf, then immediately Vatsalya Rasa comes in your heart. So Bats means a calf. So after he killed that calf, then the gopis, they said, we can't be associated with you. You have done a big pop. You've done a big sin. You killed a calf. And Krishna said, what do I have to do? He said, you have to take bath in all the sacred rivers. He said, that will take a long time. How I can be away from you girls for so long? So then, Krishna, he took his flute. Just see how handy Krishna's flute is. With that flute, he dug out a well. He dug out a well. So this flute is very handy. Sometimes for calling cows, sometimes for calling gopis, sometimes for digging kunds. Like in Barsana, he dug this Krishna kund, and here in Bandirvan, he dug one well. So that well got the name Venu Koop. And then Krishna took his bath in that well, and the gopis again would associate with him. Venu Koop has got some specialty that whenever there's a Amavasya that comes on a Monday, we call Somavati Amavasya. When the Amavasya comes on a Monday, because Monday in Hindi is called Sombar, so that's Somavati Amavasya. on that particular day in this Bandirban forest, in that Venu coop, milk comes in the well. And there's a big mela there every time, so I take everybody there. We distribute Angali Jalani Wali Garam Halava, burn your finger hot halava prasad to all the... Because mela nowadays, there's nothing spiritual going on, just there's selling all the glass bangles and aloo tikki ting 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 and jalebis, and just a scene like that is going on. So I vow that every time there's Sombhavati Amavasya and Bandirban, to go there with a group of devotees, have kirtan and distribute burn your finger hot halava prasadam to everyone. And all the villagers, they believe that on that day, especially a woman who can't get a child, or her children are born dead, or they die shortly after birth, if she will take bath on that day, then she will definitely get child. Of course, that's not our interest in going to Bandirban, but anyway, the villagers have this. But, and I have seen this happen many, many times. I was just in Washington, D.C., and there's a nice devotee named Jai Daini. Maybe some of you know her from Facebook or something, Jai Daini. And she, for a long time, she couldn't get child. So she went there with our kirtan party, and she took bath twice. She got twins. I was just there in Washington, D.C., and the two twins, boy and a girl, they both just, they're very cute. They just stared and stared and stared at me. Then you all know Daivi Shakti. Her daughter also couldn't get child for a long, long time. And she went, she took her bath there in the Venu coop, and now she has very beautiful little daughter, Tara. Tara something, I can't remember. I know so many, many stories. Anyway, we're not interested in that. We go there to get Krishna praying. It's a beautiful... It's one of the few places left in Braj was actually forest is there. Because we heard Vrindavan, it's supposed to be forest. Now you go to Vrindavan, you see all these high-rises coming up everywhere. Huh? But if you go across the Jamuna to Bandirban, then you'll see beautiful forest with pilu trees hanging down. And you'll find, you go in the forest, you'll find lots of... especially at the end of Kartik, all the, what do you call those beads? Gunja mala comes, gunja beads come. All the little gunja creepers are there, especially where there's thorns, because the, if you ever tasted the leaves of the gunja plant, it have almost like a licorice type taste to them, very, very sweet. So no animal will let that go. So they only where there's lots of brambles, you'll find these gunja latas growing like this, and you have to reach inside and get your hands all scratched up to get the... They come, it looks like a little Christmas ball. There's a whole bunch of whole little pea pods like this, but they're all arranged just like one of those fancy Christmas balls, and they open up like this, and all these red and black beads are there. It's a beautiful forest is there, this Bandirban. And there... Krishna and Balaram, this is one of the favorite sporting places of Krishna and Balaram. They're always playing in this Bandirban forest, sometimes playing leapfrog, sometimes they find a well, like the Venu coop well, and they shout names inside, or they shout inside the well, and when the echo comes back, then they call it nasty names. Sometimes the birds are flying in the sky, and Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys, they run, with all the following the shadow on the ground. Sometimes they imitate the hopping of the frog, and when that frog sees them, he jumps into the pond, and the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram, they jump into the pond. Like this, Krishna and Balaram enjoying so many wonderful pastimes in this Bandirban forest. So in the beginning, we chanted one verse from Venu Geet, which describes Krishna and Balaram. Hantaya madriya bala haridasa varja yad rama krishna charanam sparasham pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayos tayoryat paniya suya vasa kandara kandamula. Hantayam is Sanskrit for oh. So the gopis, this verse is spoken by the gopis. So they say, oh, Hantayam Adri. Adri means hill, just like we know Niladri. Adri means hill. But we have got brother named Adri Dharan. So Adri means hill. Hantayam Adri Abala. Now this verse is spoken by the gopis. So today we're discussing about Balaram. We know that Bala means strength. Bala means little boy. Bala means strength. The short day, Bala. So the girls are speaking amongst themselves. Somehow legend has it that the women are the weaker sex. Now I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, don't get me in trouble. I'm not saying it. Legend has it. So the girls are speaking. So they say, Abala. Oh, girls. Hantayam Radri Abala Haridasa Barjo. This Govardhan, he's the best of all devotees. He's the most best of all the devotees. Hantayam Adri Abala Haridasa Barjo. He's not just Haridas. Yudhisthira Maharaj is famous as Haridas. And Uddhav, he's also famous as Haridas. But the most best is when we say Haridas, Haridasa Barjo. The most bestest devotee of Lord is this Giriraj, this Govardhan, this Adri. Hantayam Adri Abala Haridasa Barjo Yad Rama Krishna. In Braj, when we talk about Ram, we're talking about Balaram. We're talking about Balaram. Yad Rama Krishna Charana. Charana means feet. Charana, Yad Rama Krishna Charanam Sparsham. We know this word from Bhagavad Gita. What verse? Matra sparshas to kontiya. You know this verse, huh? Sparsha means to touch. So Yad Rama Krishna Charanam Sparsham Pramoda. Now most of you probably have a friend, Indian friend named Pramod, isn't it? Anybody has an Indian friend named Pramod? Yes. Prabod means joyful. So Krishna and Balaram, these two brothers, these two beautiful brothers here, they're always running around on top. Charana, Sparsha. He's very joyful because he's getting the touch of the feet of Krishna and Balaram, these two beautiful boys. Just imagine getting the touch of their lotus feet. Huh? We're all anxious for that. Huh? You have to become a stone and go over downhill. Yeah. Yad Rama Krishna Charanam Sparasham Pramoda. Another reason that Giriraj is very joyful, that is described in the next verse. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat. Just like we know Amanina Manadena, to give respect or to serve. So Giriraj, he's always serving. And who is he serving? It says, Manam Tanoti Sahago. First the cows. Doesn't say Krishna Balaram, says first he's serving cow. Ganayos. It's like you know the cowherd gun. The cowherd boys. He's serving the Vaishnavas. If you really want to become Pramod, joyful, then you must serve Vaishnavas. This is the way to become joyful. Not by running around trying to, like this ass, trying to enjoy it like anything, but by serving Vaishnavas we become joyful. Manam tanoti sahago ganayos tayor, those two. Last is coming Krishna and Balaram. First we have to serve cow and Vaishnavas. Then we can someday approach the service of the Lord. So if you want to become promoted, this is the trick. You have to serve cows and Vaishnavas. And then you can serve our Krishna and Balaram so nicely. Manam tanoti sahago ganayos tayor yad. Paniya. Now most of you, the first Hindi word that you learn when you come to Vrindavan, Pani, is it? You all know Pani means water. Does everybody, Prabhu, where's the Pani? Where's the water? You can see the difference between us and the six Goswamis. In Sad Goswami Astika describes, Hey Radhe Rajate Vike Chalalite Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. Goswamis, they're asking also where? But where is that Radhe, Raja Devi K? Where is Lalita? Where is that Nanda Suno Sutta, that son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna? They're running around Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Radha? Where is Lalita? Is he on the Govardhan Hill? Is he on the bank of the Jamuna? Is he by the Kadamba tree? Huh? This is the Goswami is running around. Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Radha? And we come to Vrindavan. Oh, Prabhu, where's water? Prabhu, where's the bathroom? That's the difference between us and Goswamis. Hmm? Yeah, that also. But Paniya means water. But Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur is not just water, but also madhu. Madhu means honey. And the trees on Govardhan, so much honey is flowing. And amras. Am means, you think you know mango, huh? Mango ras. And there's beautiful trees that hang down just like these willow trees. Hmm? They're called pilu, and they have a little reddish, burgundy-colored fruit, actually, very deep red, burgundy-colored fruit that's favored of the cowboy. So pilu ras. Hmm? So paniya. And so many cascades are coming down. Now with our material eyes we don't see, but so many cascades are falling down the side of Govardhan Hill, with crystal clear water forming little pools where the cowboys can swim. And all the gopis are so envious of that water. They're so envious. Because they can't even, in front of everyone, they can't even look at Krishna. They give a little katach from the corner of their eye. Bing. That's about it. But right in front of everyone's eyes, those pools of water embracing the limbs of Krishna and Balaram in front of everyone. The gopis are so envious of those pools of water on the side of Govardhan Hill. Paniya Suyavasa. Suyavasa means grass. There's two types of grass on Govardhan. One for making the cows very juicy, grasses there to make the cows very fatty and give lots of milk. Another type of grass is this durva grass that we use in the puja, right? Chaturatma, durva.
Durva and kush.
Kush.
Durva actually grows here.
Acha, yeah, it'll grow everywhere in the world. So, Govardhan is giving this durva grass also for doing puja and things like that. Pani Yasuyavasa, Kandara. Kandara means cave. Just let me know, there's that nice verse. Sadaridya Kandare Spiritu Vasachinandana. Rupa Goswami gives us very wonderful blessing. Sada, sada means always, just like we sing in Tulsi Artik. Sada, you know, always. May that son of Sachi always be splendidly manifest in the Kandara. In Sanskrit we say cave. In English we say core, the same thing, Kandara. Sada Ridya Kandare Spiritu Vasachinandana. And may that Sachi Sandan be always shining within your heart. This is the blessing given to us by Rupa Goswami. So there's so many caves. Actually, only one of them is invisible. We go way down by the end of Govardhan Hill. There's one of the caves, now it's known as Raghava Pandit's cave. But also Radha and Krishna have many, many pastimes there. And in these caves, Krishna and Balaram, when it's raining outside, then they all run inside the caves. If it's too cold, they go inside there. If it's too hot, they can go there and hide in the shade. If it's too... they need some nice place to rest. And Radha and Krishna have so many intimate pastimes in the caves of Govardhan. That's another reason why he's Haridasa. He's the best devotee. He's seeing the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, keeping it secret from everyone else. So many caves are there. There's even right near our ISKCON ashram, you've seen a little temple on top of the hill. Now, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we don't step on the hill, but the Brishbhasi have told us underneath that Dhanirai temple, there's a big cave. So many caves, we don't see by our eyes, but so many caves there, Kandara. And Kandamulai. Now, when you come in Kartik and you do Govardhan Prakram, you see all the pushkarts are there with this big white radish. Big white radish like this, that we call muli. Now you know mool means root. Mool means root. So kanda means type of fruit, fruits. So as I described earlier, the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram, they're always hungry, 24 hours a day hungry. And so Govardhan is supplying nice fruits and roots to them. Pani yasu yavasa kandara kandamulai, supplying fruits and roots to all the cowherd boys. So this is the trick. We want to serve the Vaishnavas, we want to serve the cows, then one day we'll become qualified to serve Krishna and Balaram. Antayam, everybody can sing, huh? Antayam adriya balari dasavarjo yad rama krishna charanam sparasham pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayostayurya Pani yasu yavasa kandara kandamulai. It's a beautiful prayer for Krishna and Balaram. Bolo Sri Dhauji Maharaj ki. So it looks like it's going to take a few more minutes to set up, huh?
Two
more minutes. So... Siddha Bhumo Tatapi Krishna Balaram Vipadamule Padamo Namaste. That in this Ramanreti, this famous place, Prasida, very famous place, Ramanreti, where Krishna and Balaram were playing. Srila Prabhupada has established this beautiful Krishna Balaram temple. And exactly like that Krishna Balaram temple, there we have Gornitai, Krishna Balaram and Radha Shamsundar. Here you have a little different order, but same. And I was just in Radhadesh, I was hearing that Prabhupada also established Krishna Balaram in another farm, like Radhadesh, another farm is there, Numayapur. Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada also established there. In Mauritius is also Krishna and Balaram. But here we have the most, this Balaram, just like I said, I'm going to have to put on the sari so I can go on that side. Sneak over on that side. You're so fortunate to have these two wonderful boys, and beautiful, so beautiful Radha Shamsundar, your beautiful Gornitai with their arms stretched in the air. You're all so fortunate to serve these wonderful lords here. And again, I want to thank everybody who's made all these gorgeous arrangements. And I'm sure there's more arrangements that will come. There's a procession or something later this afternoon. So you have all my Vrishbasi blessings. And there's another Krishna Balaram in Nandagram. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went there, he only saw Krishna. As described, Mahaprabhu came and climbed a hill. And he saw this big, tall man, very dainty lady, and Tribhanga Lalita, little cowherd boy in between, and he began to caress that cowherd boy. You've seen that picture in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I posed for that picture. That was my... I was walking down the street in L.A., and Jadarani came running out. I was temple president of Portland at the time. He said, "Hey, you, come here." So I posed for that one. Mahaprabhu jumping in the boat, you know, and everybody, like that. The Buddhist who got the... plate dropped on his head. I'm the Buddhist monk, and the old man behind you going, huh? But the look on his face was from my post.
The old man on the right.
All right. And anyway, this was my tiny little part. Finally, somebody said, "Don't you know he's temple president in Portland?" And Jadarani, so I'm sorry. I said, "I'm happy to be part of the Chaitanya Marathon." That was my little part. So anyway, he began to caress the arms of that Krishna there. But now when we go to Nandagam, we climb the hill, we see a big, tall Nanda Baba with a big gold pagri, turban on his head. And on the other side, dainty little lady, Mother Yasoda. And in between, we see Krishna and Balaram. But both of them are black. They both have the same flute. They both have the same mukut, the same dress, same dhoti, same kurta, same everything, same bangles, same nupur, everything same to same. But if you ask, they will tell you that Kaneya, he's got too much love for Madhya Yasoda, so he's on Madhya Yasoda side, opposite of what we have here. And Baldao, he's got too much love for Nanda Baba, so he's on Baba's side. But they're looking exactly the same. Now there's reason, if you ask the Brishvasis, they will tell you. I don't have any praman for this other than the Brishvasis. So don't ask me later. Balaram, he's the older brother, so he feels it's my duty to protect my younger brother. So he takes chandan, and he burns it, and with the black, he smears all his limbs. And then he puts same mukut, same necklaces, same kurta, same dhoti, same flute, same ankle bell, same bracelet, same armlet, everything exactly like Kaneya. Then the demons, rakshasas, they can't tell who's Kaneya and who's Baldao. Other reason is that we just described Krishna and Balaram, there's only 8 days difference, so they're almost like twins. And I'm sure, we have any twins in our community here? So many, all right. So sometimes they dress them exactly alike, right?
When they're little.
When they're little, yeah. So that's another reason why Krishna and Balaram are exactly alike. Other reason the Brishvasis told me is that Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, they're very, very clever. Those who are already mothers, you'll recognize the cleverness of Mother Rohini and Mother Yasoda. Those of you going to be mothers someday, you can learn something from Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini. And those of you who are not married, I give you a blessing. You will get wife just as clever as Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini. If they dress them differently, then Krishna and Balaram will just fight. No, I want Kaneya's flute. No, I want Balaram's sash. No, I want his belt. No, I want his kurta. No, I want his dhoti. I want his bangle. I want his necklace. They'll just fight one another. So Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, they're very clever. They dress these two brothers exactly the same and they don't fight. So this is what I learned from the Brishvasis here. So I guess we should have left a little time for questions if anybody has any questions. Looks like we still have 2 minutes is Indian time. IST. It's called IST, Indian Stretchable Time. I put everybody to sleep. Oh, all right. There's one question in the back here.
Adibor Prabhu, thank you so much for this wonderful pastime. Yesterday, a technical question came.
Who?
Someone asked this question that Balaram is always in favor of Duryodhana. Why was this?
I'm not a Mahabharat scholar, and by we're going to start. So we have to find somebody who's a scholar of Mahabharat. But somehow, just to be different from Kaneya, he's Bolo Sri Dhaudi Maharaj Ki.